Good afternoon, everyone. I'm glad to see you all here this afternoon. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to the Psalms, Psalm 19. Psalm 19. And I'd like to consider this afternoon for the next hour or so, a little less than an hour, the topic of communication. And as we do, I'd like to start off by reading this verse, Psalm 19, verse 14. Psalm 19, verse 14. It says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." So we think about the topic of communication. It's not just what we say, it's what's behind the words that often is so potent and powerful. And context is everything for our speech. If I'm walking in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, like I talked about last night, then that's going to change not only how I say what I say, but how I receive what's said to me. Conversely, if I'm not walking with the Lord and I'm living in the flesh, then what I say and how I receive it is also going to be significantly impacted by that, because I'm going to be putting me first and not my spouse first. And so I want you to keep that in mind as we start to go through that. That context means so much. And if we, as I spoke last night, if we have the Lord Jesus Christ at the center, doesn't mean we're not going to mess up. We will. But what it does mean is that I have the Spirit of God working in me and guiding me to show me, Mark, you were wrong. You need to fix that. Whereas when I'm walking in the flesh is only going to say, she's wrong. What a, you fill in the word that you want to describe her. And so, folks, again, I really beseech you, begin with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you will do that, that'll set the foundation for your marriage, and then you have something to build upon. But if you don't do that, then your marriage is going to be built on shifting sand, and it will shift. The rains will come, the floods will hit, and it'll wipe it out. Folks, the Lord Jesus Christ is key. Now, one other verse I'd like to look at with you just before we start diving in here. Turn to Proverbs 18. This is a powerful verse. Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18 and verse 21. It says there, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Did you see that first part? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. We can build up or we can tear down. We can give life or we can take life. And all with the words of our tongue. You know, James would say the tongue is such a powerful weapon. And he says, you got a ship with a little rudder on the back. And he says, that's like the tongue. And in fact, he goes on, he says, the tongue is a world of iniquity. He says, it's set on fire of hell. You know, death and life in that little piece between our lips. And you know, when the Lord Jesus Christ is in control of my tongue, then out comes gracious words. But when Mark DeJager and the flesh is in control of it, death and destruction come out of it. And so I want you, as we begin, I want you to just, as we speak through this, the thing that I'd really like you to do is reflect on your marriage. And for you that aren't married yet, I really appreciate what John said there about look forward, like you're building a foundation in. I never got this, I'll be honest. Like, I didn't get premarital counseling. We kind of got thrown in. I was 25 when I married, so I had that. I think that's an advantage. I hope it was. I think so, yeah. but none of this stuff. And so take this and kind of just store it away. And then when you kind of come to that state, you hear what John was saying, and then this about communication, and you can build on this and take it and begin to live your life. But if you can learn by the grace of God to allow Him to control your tongue, then what a difference it makes. And it's everyday life that we need to learn this. I remember coming into work one day when I was working with Freedom 55, and this guy said to me, I said, "How you doing today, Monday morning? How you doing?" "Oh," he said, "my tongue is all scarred." I said, "What happened?" He says, "I spent the weekend biting my tongue." I said, that's good, that's good. Because, again, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so, and then what I was going to say there is, as we look at this, I want you to evaluate, especially you that are married, I want you to evaluate your marriage. Are you communicating? Are you really communicating? Because we're going to see there's different levels of communication. And it's very easy to be at the very superficial level and never get any further. And so the question is, maybe you've been married for a number of years and you just kind of settled into this rut and it's kind of boring. And you're really not communicating, you're really not talking together. And so I challenge you, listen today, listen to what the Word of God says, and I challenge you to go beyond. I challenge you to take it to the next level, so to speak, to get to really know each other. Because when I was asked, and John and I were asked to speak about this, and we were sitting down, we were in Halifax, or Dartmouth, actually talking about this, and it struck me, you know what? I really like my wife. I do. In fact, way more than when I got married. I like being with her. I like talking with her. I like hanging out with her. More than when we got married. You know, back then it was like, "Well, she's more beautiful. I love her. Yeah." And it's true. She was. She was great. And she still is great. Better get that in there. We're still good, right? See, I got this microphone in my ear. Just kidding. But I'm serious. I really, and not just love her, but I love her, but I like her. I really enjoy being with her. And that's what, I would want that and much more for you. That this is a person I want to spend my life with. And so, think about your communication. Have you settled into a rut? Because that marriage is not meant to be endured. It's meant to be lived together, and I believe enjoyed together. And so I just got a little kind of cutesy thing to start with. We're talking about communication, and this kind of came to my mind. Ladies, have you ever kind of experienced this before? Your husband comes home from work, and he says, "Oh, I was talking to John today, and he was telling me that Peter and Jane, they had their baby." And so the wife goes, "Oh, really? Oh, that's so good to hear. I'm glad to know that. So what'd they have?" "Well, it was a boy." "So what'd they call him?" "Well, I don't know." "Oh, well, how much did he weigh?" "Well, I don't know." "Well, is she still in the hospital?" "I don't know that either." "Well, what do you know? They had a baby and he's a boy." You ever feel that frustration, ladies? You know, like, what? You know, because we're coming at it from two different directions. Often, now, I don't want to stereotype. I am, I guess, but it's not too much. But often the ladies are the ones that want the details. Give me the details, right? So I've learned now, okay, how much did he weigh? What's his name? Give me the first name. I'll forget the second one. And give me some of that information. So when I get home, my wife says to me, okay, and I can say, okay, it's a baby, boy. His name is Oliver. He weighed 3, and the wife is home from the hospital. And I look what I did. I successfully answered all the questions before she even asked, right? So, but the point is we have different communication styles, and it's important to understand that. So let's talk a little bit about communication, because it's such an important part of the married life. In fact, it's an important part of every aspect of our life, but especially married life. And, you know, communication covers such a gamut of different things. You know, we're communicating now. That's words. But it's not just the words that we use to communicate. That, what you could say, is the verbal part. but there's also the nonverbal. Yeah. Right? You don't have to say anything, but the rolled eyes, the crossed arms, it's like, yeah, right. Right? You're setting up a posture. Expressions, like you watch some people's face, and like you don't need to hear anything, you can just tell, right? There's the expression. Actions, and all of these things are talking to you. And it can be good. It's so neat to, like, and it's happened before. Kim and I are somewhere, and we're in a crowd of people, and she's over there talking to someone, I'm over here talking to someone, all of a sudden we kind of connect eyes, and she winks at me, or I wink at her, and it's like, I just feel like I'm right there with her. It's such a connection. But imagine I look over and I smile at her and she just turns away. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. But you get the point. Don't say anything, and yet there's a message communicated. Communication takes so many different forms, doesn't it? And so we need to keep that in mind as we start to look at communication and how it works, because the basis of communication we see in the Word of God. You see, God has been communicating to us. He gave us his word. Right back in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16, you see God speaking to the man. First time it mentions God actually, it says he spoke creation into being. But when he spoke to a person, he first spoke to Adam. And so he begins speaking, and in fact, you follow it right through, and God is continually speaking to man. And then as if that weren't enough, then what did God go and do? See, God didn't just tell us what he wanted us to know. Then God actually demonstrated, because what does John 1:1 say? And John 1:14 is probably the best. It says, the Word, God's Word became flesh. All right, it's not like God just said it. He says, I'm going to now demonstrate it. And so that is so powerful, because words without actions are empty. But words that are then lived out are so powerful, aren't they? You know, when I see my wife saying something, and when I see her go put into action, I say, there's the woman I love. And I hope she looks at me and she says, there's the man I respect. Because that's what God wants. He wants us just like he did with his son. He says, it's not enough that I tell you this. I want you to see what I'm like. And my verse this morning was Colossians 1:19. It says, it pleased the Father that in him, the Lord Jesus, should all fullness dwell. And the point is, God wanted us to know what he's like through his son. And you know what? We can demonstrate the truth of what we believe through how we live. It's not enough to talk. We have to put into action what we say we believe. And so communication is so important, and it's meant to be matched by our life. And you know that communication by its very nature is meant to be two ways. Just turn over to 1 John chapter 1, please. We were there briefly last night. But in 1 John chapter 1, and it says there in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And so John says, I'm telling you this so that you can have fellowship, you can have communion with us, and our fellowship, our communion is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And so there you see that communion with God. We talked about that last night. And then the communion between each other. And that place that's so important is between myself and my wife, between you and your spouse, that you're having that communion. And the nature of that is it's two ways. It's two ways. It's speaking and receiving. Speaking and receiving. And so communion is meant to be, two-directional. And so, and of course, as I spend time, in this case, with the Lord, then obviously we're going to have more things we want to talk about. But as I spend less time in his presence, then it's going to be like there's a blank. And the same thing is true. As I spend more time with my wife, and I know it's not always possible to spend oodles of time. Time can be at a premium. But I've discovered that if we're intentional, and we need to be, especially young couples, please be intentional. We'll talk a little more about that, about setting aside time to be together and to talk. All right? And so as I spend time with her, then you know what happens? That we begin to communicate and we find those things in common. And we communicate about those things with each other. And so it's important that we do that, because I remember when we were early on, when we were married, Kim would come to me and she would say these words, and it kind of gave me a sinking feeling in my heart. She'd say to me, "We don't talk." And I'm thinking, like, I am a man, okay? I don't have a lot happening between here. It's like, I think, well, yes, we talk. And so then I'd have this discussion with her. Yeah, we talked. Remember, you were talking about this, talking that. And then finally, it got through to me. She wasn't talking about the mundane events of life. Yes, we talked about what happened in our day. What she was talking about is that we weren't sharing with each other. Like when we'd been dating, we'd sit for hours and just hours would go by talking. And what she was saying is, I miss sitting down and just you and me talking and sharing what's in our hearts. So the question is, folks, do you talk? Do you really talk with your wife? Do you talk with the Lord? Do you talk with your wife? You know, when we look at the basis of communication, let's turn over to Psalm 50, verse 1. Because communication is really made up of two parts. This is not rocket science. I know you know this already, but I just want you to see this. Psalm 50, verse 1, look what it says there. Psalm 50, verse 1. It says, "The Mighty One, God the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to its going down." So God has spoken. And this is the record we find in Scripture, that God has spoken. But we also read in various places, just turn over to Psalm 22, that God, it says God heard. So, for example, 2 Kings 22:19, he's speaking to Josiah. He says, "I've heard you." And the record is of God that he hears. So Psalm 22, look at verse 5. And what a beautiful psalm this is. And right in the midst of the agony of the Lord Jesus Christ, you find this verse. It says in verse 5, "They cried to you." So here are his people calling out to God. And what happened? God heard them, and the testimony of God is he delivered. And it goes on to say, "They trusted in you, and they were not ashamed." And so God, his people called out to him, God heard, and God delivered. And so you see the two parts. God speaks, God hears. That's so important, folks. And I just want to stop there for a minute, because a lot of people fail to understand that. And it's such a critical part when we're trying to walk this life together. God hears. God does hear you. Please understand that. You know, it doesn't mean he's going to answer you right now. You know, we're in the midst of some prayers ourselves for different people, and it's literally a heavy burden on our heart. But I know God hears me. I don't know when he's going to answer my prayer, but I know he hears me. He hears you. Don't give up. He is faithful. You can trust him. Look at what it says. They cried. They trusted in you. Can we trust in God? Yes, we can. And that's so important. And that's such a foundation we're going to see for communication, is that trust. So our main part, so when we take that relationship with God, how do we communicate with God? Well, we communicate with God by speaking. we talk to him. And if you, I would challenge you to evaluate your prayer life, because I would dare to say your prayer life in many ways is a reflection of your communication style with your spouse. Because if your prayer life is a very shallow type of prayer life, I wonder if your communication with your wife is shallow. And I just want to talk about a few different levels of communication with your wife, or spouse, I should say. There's the general stuff, like, "Hey, honey," you know, you come home, "Hey, how's it going?" You're passing on the road, "Hey, how you doing? Good morning, how was your night?" And so that's kind of casual, you know, low-level stuff. We're not really looking for answers. We're just kind of asking a general, "Good day, how you doing?" And, you know, we might ask this of anyone. So that's the most basic of level, the informal, the pleasantries, you could say, of life. But then we can go a little further, informational. "So how was your day?" And so then the information comes about the day. Like, "This, I did this. What did you do today?" And they may tell me, you know, "This is what I did." Or I might ask, "So what do you got planned?" And so now we're starting to go a little further. It's not just, hi, how you doing? But I want a little information. And maybe that's where your conversations end up. That's your communication. And if that is, then you're really only hitting the superficial. All right? We've got to go further than that. I don't want just information. So what happens next? Well, the next one is that we begin to share. Okay? Not only how was your day, but really, how was your day? And then as we start to talk about it, says, remember I told you yesterday about so-and-so? Yeah. Well, guess what? Or better yet, how did it work out with so-and-so? Oh, yeah, right. Oh, shoot. And so there's beginning to share. And, well, how about you? And so then we start to talk. And so you start to see that sharing. And you know what? That's what God really wants from us, you know that. God wants us to share our hearts with him. Play out our burdens before him. You read David. David lays his burdens out before the Lord. And that's what we're to do with each other, to share with each other. And then you take it a step further, not just talking about our day and sharing how the day went, but you go even further. You start to talk about desires and concerns and goals and aspirations and perhaps failings. And you begin to start to share that with each other. And that's where you're starting to hit those areas where you're starting to be vulnerable with the other person. You're starting to be transparent. This is who I am. And I mentioned that last night, that that's an important place to be. Why is it important? It's important because then my wife knows who Mark DeJager is, and she can pray for me. She knows who I really am. And I've got somebody, you could say, in my corner that's praying for me who knows exactly what I'm like. And so I encourage you, have you gone there? Do you share with each other? Or have you kind of drifted off into the neutral land? You know, there's nothing like having a spouse beside you to encourage you and to say, well, I'm sharing you this goal. And then, hey, have you thought of this? It's like, well, no. And so you encourage. Remember I said last night that we're to provoke one another to love and good works. Well, that's part of it. We're sharing our aspirations, our dreams, and our goals, our maybe our disappointments, our discouragements. And yeah, but think of this, honey. Oh, yeah, that's right. And so there's these different levels of communication that I'm hoping that you've got there. But I guess the question is, do your conversations go beyond the mundane things of life? And I'll tell you one important thing. If you want to do that, you need to be intentional. And this is where I said earlier, especially young couples, but really all couples. Kim and I have started to do this again. I kind of go in waves or get good at it, and then we get down and up and down. But take it, go on a date. And you know what? I know some of you say, yeah, you don't know how poor I am. Well, yes, I do. We've lived... Anyway, I won't go into that. But go on an ice cream date. Go buy a bag, go to a grocery store and pick out one thing and share it. And, you know, sit down in front of the grocery store and talk. See, it's not about where you go. It's about being together. Make it a point of going together. Go shopping together. Even if you have to hire a babysitter, yeah, we got to go shopping. Well, go shopping together. Be together and make it a point. Be intentional. I look, seriously, folks, I beseech you. This is important to be together. The world is driving us apart. Watch people. Watch people today. Everybody, you can be sitting in a crowd and everybody's got their head down and doing this. Nobody's looking at each other. Nobody's talking anymore. Put away the phones, sit down and talk. Take that time. And I found it such a strengthening thing in my relationship. Just like spending time in the Lord is so strengthening for me, then strengthening for my relationship with my wife is that time together, and you need it. Be intentional. Set the time aside and keep it. Make it a point to keep that. And so the first part then of communication is to be it's the person who's going to speak. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in a moment. But I want to talk about hearing, because this is often where communication breaks down. And when you hear, and I've written, if you look at the outline, I've kind of listed four different things about knowing, understanding, discerning, and wisdom. So I'm equating knowing to hearing. So I've heard the words, I know what you said, is what I'm trying to say. So Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5 says this, a wise man will hear and increase learning. So a wise man is going to hear. So when somebody's communicating, when my spouse is communicating with me, I'm supposed to listen and to hear. Guys, if you didn't know that, this is a newsflash. You got to listen, all right? And we're going to talk a little bit more about that, all right? What does it mean to listen? So really for us, the most important part in communicating is actually to receive is what's being said. And so this means you're going to allow the person to speak. And this is especially, I know John's going to touch on conflict, so I'm not going to go into that, but allowing each other the opportunity to talk and to finish. You know what's beautiful about that? Read the book of Job. God allowed Job and his friends to talk for 38 chapters. And when they're all done, it says Job finished speaking. Job's all done, and then guess what? Then God spoke. God waited till he was all done, and then God spoke. Let the person speak. Listen. Because it says he, and here's an interesting one, I wrote this down. Have you ever said this to your spouse? I know what you're going to say. You heard that before? Yeah? Listen to what the proverb says. He who answers a matter before it hears it is folly and shamed him. Let them talk. Even if it is the same thing, hear it out. And so it's so important to listen. I read this story or heard it somewhere about this dad. He was, they take turns putting their daughter to bed. His turn that night. And so he says, sometimes they just lay in bed together, talk, and she would talk, and he'd just lay there and listen to her. So one night he says, I'm just laying there listening to her talk. And it's dark. And she said, Daddy, listen to me. And she grabs his face in the dark and turns it towards her. Why? Because he wasn't listening. She knew that in the dark. And so it's so important that we learn to listen, to hear what's being said. And remember that there are different ways of hearing, all right? Men are often report-oriented. So men often, just give me the summary of what you want to say, honey, okay? Just keep it short, all right? Meanwhile, over here are the ladies, and they want you to enjoy the experience, all right? Now, I think I got time, so I'm going to tell this. I told Kim I'd tell you the story. So this happened. I'm really dumb, okay? And John said, you know, we're learning. This just happened recently. It shows you how thick I am. Anyway, so Kim works at Harvest House. She's been volunteering working there for a few years, and anything and everything happens there. She comes home one day, she says, you'll never believe what happened at Harvest House. And the tone of her voice was such like, I wasn't going to believe what happened at Harvest House. Now, you got to understand, the police are there. Like, anything and everything happens there. So I'm like, what happened? Like, did somebody die? Somebody get shot? You know, what happened? Did somebody attack you? And so I said, well, what happened? Like, and I'm just like, I'm ready. Do I have to go do something? Do I have to knock somebody down? Like, rescue somebody? What happened? And so she goes to me, well, this morning I got to the office. And Sandra was there. So I said, hey, Sandra, how was your weekend? Oh, it was a good weekend. We were having good. And so while I was talking to Sandra, Jamie came walking in. And so I'm thinking, okay, Jamie, what happened with Jamie? And so I said, Jamie, like, what's going on? He said, no, it's good. The shelter's been quiet all week and everything's been great. He said, okay, so it's not Jamie. No. So, and so the story starts going on. I'm like, okay. And finally, you know what I did? I did the unforgivable. I said, can you just get to the point? I was waiting to rescue somebody. And as soon as I said that, I knew I had committed a major flaw. Because to my wife, and she said this to me, she says, it's the experience. I want you to enjoy it so that when I come to the end, you enjoy that with me. And I'm thinking, yeah, I'm on pins and needles the whole time. But I learned something about her, that's the way she likes to communicate. And so I've learned that I listen to it. Now, I got to tell you the rest of the story. So about 6 months later, Christopher had an interview, or a work review, and so I called him up later in the day and kind of like, so Chris, how did the review go? So I went in the office this morning and I was talking to Michelle. I thought, he's just like his mother. But the point is this, folks, This is what I'm trying to point out here, is some people are going to give you the detail. And often it's the men that want the report. They just give me the report of what happened today, kind of like at the end of the day, boom, 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 boom. Okay, great, we're good. Okay? But, and this is what brings balance into a relationship. Here's the wife sharing with you the experience of the day. She wants you to be there and enjoy it with her. And that's what makes the relationship tick. Because we've learned, as she learns, to not leave me too long on pins and needles, but I've learned to be patient because this is what makes life enjoyable. We drove all the way to Florida, and we had such a wonderful conversation just going down there together. I enjoyed it, spending time and talking back and forth. And so remember as we communicate that not everybody communicates the way I do, but I've got to learn, especially in my relationship, to learn to listen to my wife and to allow her to communicate in her style. So first of all, I got to hear, but that's not enough. I need to understand. So this is part two. In Proverbs 8, look, listen to what it says. Proverbs 8, verse 5. Oh, you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, I think he's talking to guys, be of an understanding heart. So it's not enough just to hear the words, it's to have an understanding heart. So listen to what the other spouse is saying and then understand it, okay? Because we're not only going to hear what it's said, but we need to understand what's communicated. And we need to understand the intent that comes behind it. And we need to be what's called an active listener. Has your spouse ever said to you, you're not listening to me? You ever had that happen? You're not listening to me. Well, often enough, it's true. And so just briefly, and this is something new for me, but I found that it's very powerful when you're talking with people, and especially with my spouse, is when Kim's talking, and especially something serious, like if she's just telling me an activity for the day, then it's not so bad. But when we're getting into serious content, I've discovered, and I'm learning to do this. I'm not an expert on this, but here, listen to me, especially you men, listen. Listen, hear what she's saying, and then put it back in your words. Is this what you're saying, honey? So this is what's called being an active listener. This is revelation for us guys. I mean, like, really? You expect me to do that with her? Yes, I do, because it changes everything. It's like, he heard me. Like, he's really listening. And it's so powerful, because all of a sudden, you're able to connect. And it's great, because so oftentimes, I'll be honest with you, I'll keep on doing and just kind of, you know, zone her out. You ever done that? And is that what we're supposed to do? It's not. Because when you take our relationship with the Lord, it's not a zoning, it's a communion. And now there might be times where I'm in the middle of something. I say, honey, you're going to have to give me a minute, because I just, give me a minute to finish this and then I can listen. And that's fair. But then I want to give her my attention, just like that little girl. Daddy, look at me. Listen. Honey, is this what you're saying? And now if you want to take it to a next step, guys, this is what the suggestion is, and it really works. So did this frustrate you? This upset you? And what's happening is I'm starting to get to the intent. Why is she telling me all this in the first place? What's behind this? Because remember what we said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, what's the heart behind this? Why is this upsetting my wife? Why is this encouraging my wife? Why is it pleasing her? And so guys, hear what she says, and then in a summary say, is this what you're saying? Especially I'm talking when we're talking about areas that are serious, that we can actually give back to them what they're saying and show them not only that we heard, but there's the key part, that we understand what they're saying to us. Now, we need to remember, of course, when we listen to people, that different things mean different words mean different things for people. So, for example, a little funny example, if my wife says to me, I don't have any clothes, all right? Does that mean my wife doesn't have any clothes? No. It means she does not have any clothes for that particular occasion. I understand that language now, finally, okay? Before it was like, what do you mean you got no clothes? Look. That was me and my youthful foolishness. Now I understand when she says that, she's not saying, I don't have any clothes. She's saying she doesn't feel she has anything appropriate for the occasion. Now, if I say, I don't have any clothes, or most men say they don't have any clothes, what does it mean? Well, one of two things. Either A, they don't have any clothes, or B, all their clothes are dirty. Would that be fair to say? Yeah? And so, but my point is this. Same words by two different people mean two totally different things. And so we need to understand what is actually being said. It's not enough to hear it, but we need to understand what's being said so that we can respond appropriately. All right. The second thing is this. We need to understand the heart behind this, the assumptions. And so that's why, guys, responding back is so important. I'll give you an example of this. There's a missionary in a foreign country. His kids were in a different country. Anyway, he and his wife were going on vacation within the country and service where they were. And his wife, as they were, you know, the week before, she'd say, you know, they're getting ready to go, just packing things up, trying to remember, well, we got to bring this, we got to bring that. And she'd say, don't forget the passports. He's going, like, you know, just, you're not communicating, not really talking, just say, don't forget the passports. And he's saying, like, well, I don't need the passport. We got our visas. We're okay. And she said that a few times. And he's like, finally, he just said to her, what do you mean we need the passports? We don't need the passports. We've got our visas. We're okay. Now, this is where communication kicked in. Because in her mind, the kids are in another country. If anything happens while we're on vacation, we need our passports to be able to go and to be with them. He's thinking, we're going on vacation. All I need is my visa. And so suddenly being able to go back and say, okay, honey, why do you keep asking me for this? And so then suddenly it all becomes clear. And so understanding the underlying, what's behind it makes such a difference when we talk to each other. And so understanding what's behind what's being said. The other point I'd like to make under understanding is this, is remember, as a man, why does my wife talk to me? Why does she share the things she does with me? It's because she trusts me. She trusts that I am committed to her, we heard about that, that I'm committed to her, and that I'm a safe place to receive it. So guys, when your wife shares something with you, that take that as a sign of respect. Because she trusts you. Now guys, if your wife doesn't, it's maybe because you haven't established that environment, that safe environment where she can share with you what's on her heart. And one of the best ways for you to counteract that, to get around that, is you begin to show her that yourself. You to begin to do what Christ has done for us. See, he's come and he's humbled himself. And he shared his heart with us. Why? So that we in turn would respond to that and open our hearts to him and believe him and trust him. Men, take the leadership. Seriously, take the leadership. Be a man. And go and talk to your wife so that she can learn she can trust you. You're trustworthy. You're a safe place for her to share what's on her heart. And there's nothing more beautiful than to see a lady just pouring out her heart to her husband and knowing that she's perfectly safe there. And so communication is not just about the ears. It's also about the heart and understanding. And then comes the next part, which is I've called discretion in responding. You know, I'll start with Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 11 says this, and this really fits in communication. Watch this. It says this, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. When I go to respond to my wife, especially in some volatile situations, when I go to respond to her, it's discretion that's going to keep me. How many times, men, haven't we shot off with our mouth and just inflamed a situation? The Bible says here, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. You know, there's a verse that says, and I've written it down further, it says about the tongue that it's like the piercing of a sword. It says that the tongue can be like the piercing of a sword, and so often we do that. And so discretion is such an important part when it comes to relationship. And now you say, but I just got to spit it out. Well, that's where, remember last night, Colossians 1:11, that if we are willing to walk in the Spirit, it says that we will be strengthened with all might. That was Paul's prayer for the Colossians, that we'd be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering. Ladies, gentlemen, God wants my tongue to be under the control of his Holy Spirit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And if I will walk in the Spirit, that life can give, that tongue can give life. But if I will walk in the flesh, that tongue will produce death and destruction. And that's just as true for a man as it is for a woman. And so discretion is so important because it involves really all of me. And the idea behind discretion is it's intelligence to respond in appropriate manner to what was said. So using my brain, allowing the Holy Spirit to communicate to me so that I'm going to answer in a way that is gracious. You know, remember about the Lord Jesus, the testimony of the Lord Jesus, that they marveled at the gracious words that he spoke. Am I known for my gracious words? When I'm in the middle of a situation, what comes out of my mouth? Is it graciousness? Is it characteristic of the Lord Jesus Christ? You see the Lord Jesus in some of the most difficult circumstances, and how did he answer? He answered so graciously, so kindly to the different people. And you know, it's beautiful. Everyone fit the scenario. You know, the leper comes to him and he says, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And you know, the leper, I can just see him. He's almost ready to hear that. "Run, get away from me, unclean." And what does Jesus say? "I will." No long speeches, nothing else. "I will be clean." But then there's a Syrophoenician woman who comes over to him. And remember, he was trying to hide. And this woman finds him and she says, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And he says, "Well, it's not appropriate to take the food from the children and give it to the little dogs." And you say, why did he say that to the woman? But this woman's faith was rock solid. She was not giving up. And so what he does, this little speech to interchange between them, actually serves to expose for us the greatness of her faith. And so he says to her, "It's not appropriate that I take the food from the children, i.e. the children of Israel, to give it to a Gentile." And she says, "Oh, you're right. But the dogs, little dogs under the table, get to eat the crumbs." In other words, "Lord, just throw me a crumb." He says, "Woman, your faith is so great." He says, basically there, your prayer is answered. And so we get to enjoy that. And so Jesus' answers were so appropriate for each occasion. And we can do the same through the power of the Holy Spirit. He can control my tongue. He can control your tongue so that you don't just spout off, but that you speak with grace and humility and mercy. Because Proverbs 15:1. Just turn there, because a couple of verses I want you to see in Proverbs. Proverbs 15:1. This is an amazing verse. There's lots of great ones in Proverbs. They're all good, but just a couple really stood out. Proverbs 15:1. "A soft answer turns away wrath." Ladies, gentlemen, if we can answer softly instead of answering harshly, the wrath becomes resolved. And so a soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. Look at that. Again, Jesus was known for his gentleness. Look down in verse 25 of chapter 15, another great one here. Verse 25. All right, I got the wrong reference here. Just give me a second here. Oh, it's 25:15. I'm a little dyslexic. 25:15. I'll give you a minute to turn there because this is worth reading. Because a lot of times when conflict comes, we are prone to answer harshly. Look at 25:15 says, "By long forbearance a ruler is persuaded, and a gentle tongue breaks a bone." The power is in the gentle word. The force is there. if we can answer graciously and with that gentle word. And so again, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And so when it comes time to speak, may discretion guide us. And then fourthly, we talk about wisdom. And wisdom really, it's been said that wisdom is knowledge put to practical use. And so over time, I begin to learn by experience. And I can learn from that. For example, maybe my wife comes home or I come home and one of us is tired. Well, when we're tired, I've learned by experience is not a good time to have these deep, troubling discussions. And so it's wise to say, okay, honey, you know what? Or maybe she's the wise one in this case, says, okay, Mark, we're both tired. Let's just wait and we'll talk about this tomorrow. It's like, you know what? You're right. That's wisdom, to recognize the signs and say, okay, this is not a good time. Let's do this when we're both ready. And then wisdom would say, okay, well, let's pray together. I'll tell you something, there's something powerful about getting down on your knees together and holding hands and praying and then saying, okay, let's talk about it now. It sets the tone. It brings us before God and asks him for his wisdom and then to come together and to talk through these things. And so wisdom is what fortifies us as we begin to enter into sometimes what can be very difficult discussions. And so that allows that communication, that the rules of communication are observed in conflict, that we're going to talk. And I'm going to allow her to talk, and I'm going to listen. And I'm not going to just listen, I'm going to understand. And then by God's grace, with discretion, I'm going to respond to her in a Christ-like way. That's wisdom, setting the stage so that we can work through these things. And even simple things like maybe you've had it before, you're just dozing off to sleep, been a long day, you're tired, and all of a sudden one or the other wants to have a heartfelt discussion. Like, you want to talk about what? At 12 o'clock at night? And yet grace props us up, and we have the discussion. But then you notice, well, it's every Friday night at about 11 o'clock that these discussions occur. You know what? Here's wisdom. Let's go out for supper Friday night, and we can have that discussion at 7 o'clock instead of 11 o'clock. Wouldn't that make sense? And so wisdom, let's be practical about these things. If I can set the stage practically to do these things, why not do it? And that's why, really, intentionality is so important to prepare the stage and to actually put into action these things. Now, the last section I want to talk about is this communicating and communication. Proverbs, we already looked at Proverbs 15, verse 1. It says, a harsh word stirs up anger, but a soft answer turns away wrath. Harsh words are they cut so deep. Far better to say nothing than to say something angrily or harshly. And so when you enter into that discussion, ask God for grace so that, like the Lord Jesus Christ, you would speak gently, that your words would be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Because oftentimes those words, they get in there and they're so hard to get out. And it takes sometimes weeks, months, even years before finally that nasty thing you said in the spur of the moment. And it can take months or years. And this is why, again, I come back to last night, learning to have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Learning to walk under the control of the Spirit instead of under the control of the flesh. And then secondly, so first of all, watch your words. When you communicate, it's not just what you say. It's what's behind those words. The meditation of my heart comes out oftentimes. And so the attitude is so important. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. And look how Peter describes this about the care for one another. 1 Peter 1 and 22, it says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, sincere In sincere love of the brethren. Now look at this last part. Love one another with a pure heart fervently. Do you notice that there? It says a sincere love of the brethren and then to love one another with a pure heart fervently. And the idea there is this, is that there are no ulterior motives in my love. It's pure, it's genuine. And imagine this, how many times have we been in a conversation and words are said that are loaded words? Remember the Pharisees came to Jesus and they said to him, is it right to give taxes to Caesar? Yes or no? It was a loaded question. And they were trying to catch him in his words. How many times have we said things and it's loaded? Yeah, right. And it says so much. And so instead, if we can come and speak, it's just like this verse says, if we have that love for one another, that pure, sincere love, and we speak from that heart, what a difference it'll make. So when I speak to my wife and she hears my words, she knows there's no sub-message going on there. What I'm saying is right on top. You know, you ever talk to some people and they're always talking in parables and you're always kind of like, are you saying this or is this coming through too? I'm not sure. Don't be like that. Be sincere and genuine and simple. Make your words mean what they're going to be. May your attitude be pure before them. And then last of all, the actions. The actions speak so loud. And you know, it's sometimes the most simple of actions that are so important. When's the last time you hugged your wife, guys? Ladies, when's the last time you hugged your husband? I've discovered something. I can't hug my wife if I'm upset with her. I can't. I don't want to. Because I know there's something between me. Because to me, a hug, and I'm not a sentimental person, just to put that out front there, okay? Just so we're clear. But to me, a hug is two of us just getting together, and it's just like, just that two becoming one, I feel that. And so when we're at odds, and so a good litmus test, if we're over an argument or not, is can you hug me? Can I hug her? Yeah, I suppose. Hug each other. Take the time for each other. Be together. And one little thing that I found useful, I never knew about this before, it's worth reading some of these. There's value to in some of this stuff, but I read the five languages of love. We had that. We did it once as a family. We had a lot of fun doing that. But I understood the nature of my wife. See, I could lavish all these compliments on my wife, but my wife is not motivated by words of affirmation. She likes them. She likes gifts, but she's not motivated by gifts. You know what motivates my wife? Acts of service, if I do something for her. It took me a while to learn that, but when I learned it, it's like, that's powerful. Now, some people, it's touch. I got a son, he's touchy, you know, all over me. I'm not a touchy person, but he's touchy. That's what motivates him. So guess what I've had to learn how to do? Hug him. I'm not a hugger. I've learned to hug him, because that's what he responds to. And so, what does your spouse respond to? Do you know that? Because that's talking her language. That's just another layer of communication. How do I communicate to my wife? My wife, she likes to hear things. Yet, it's good that you do all the stuff for her, but maybe all she wants is to hear you tell her how much you love her. Or maybe what she wants, she doesn't need all the words, she does need all the acts. What she'd like you to do is just come over and sit down beside her and spend an hour with her. Or same ladies with him. Stop doing all the housework, sit down, and have that cup of coffee with him. That's what he wants. So these are all useful things. But I come back to the very first thing where we started, is if you begin with your relationship with the Lord and you allow him to fill your heart, then that communication with your spouse becomes so much richer. That the words that I speak can become the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Granted, we will mess up and fail. But then the grace of God allows me to rectify. It gives me the words to come back and to win her back again after I've hurt her. And so begin with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the second thing I want to add to that, and I just want to I'll drive this home every meeting, is this: learn to pray together. Learn to pray together. It's so powerful when you get on your knees together and you lift up your voice together and you pour out your heart to God together and you ask Him for the grace and the strength and the wisdom to walk day by day. Are you walking with the Lord? Are you praying together? That's what'll help. That's what'll strengthen you to get through. And finally, are the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart, are they acceptable in God's sight? May it be so. Shall we pray? Father, we give you thanks this afternoon for your Holy Spirit, for your word. Oh God, we thank you that you have enabled us, Lord, to come into this relationship through the Lord Jesus Christ, but then you've empowered us to live a life for your honor and for your glory. And oh God, I just think of everyone represented here today. You know everyone. You know the challenges they face. You know the strengths that they bring. Oh God, I just bring them before you. And Lord, I just pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you would work in everyone's heart. May they be strengthened with all might, according to your glorious power, with all patience and long-suffering, to go forward for the glory and the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, may it be so. Thank you again for everyone here today. We pray your richest blessing on them. In Jesus' name, amen.